This is RSBNB Update, episode 373, recorded Thursday, August 9th, 2012. Resistance is futile. Hello, everybody. Welcome back, or welcome to the show if you're just first joining us here. We are RSBNB Update, and we discuss the week's RuneScape news and provide some clarity and thought on the week's updates. Earth is joining us again this week because he just enjoyed this quest so much that we're going to talk about in just a little bit that we figured it would be good to have somebody on who's actually involved in questing and somebody who does quests without a guide.
Yes, dear. You didn't announce me in, so I didn't say anything.
Well, you're supposed to announce yourself by now.
That's not what a host does.
Oh, okay. Well, we can share because you've done the job before. Anyways, yay. We're starting something new, or trying something new at least this week. We're going to, in an effort to cover the RS updates that we feel are most important versus the ones that are not as important. We're going to start off with something this week and next week, and we'll see how it goes after that, called the Weekly Brief. It is essentially a rundown of the week's RS updates in a short amount of time. Spoiler-free, so you don't have to worry about hearing anything that you might not want to hear about this quest if you're interested in quest spoilers or not in that point of view. So let's get started with your Weekly Brief. First off, Some Like It Cold. That's the new Penguin quest, which came out this week, which requires certain skills such as 65 fishing, 56 crafting, 50 construction, 50 thieving, and previously the hunt for Red Ractuber, and of course all the other requirements for that quest. And of course, this is a members-only quest. And we'll be discussing the ramifications of the quest, rewards, and everything in just a little bit.
All right, and next up, we also have the bug abusers who just been banned. It seems that many people were abusing a glitch involving the dual arena, and they've just been basically been given a ban hammer, and hopefully all of them are gone.
Reed?
And next up, we had the Queen Black Dragon has been tweaked. Her drops, summoning charms, 10-second cooldown on her normal dragon fire, 30-second cooldown on scythe and mithe, click areas adjusted, and some other things.
We also have a community roundup, which is basically a list of community events provided by Jagex that are sanctioned by Jagex, including mod fishing events, the Barrows combat event for this weekend, the fourth combat beta event where you can get another piece of that mad scientist outfit if you've been keeping up on that. I know I have. And also a new player's gallery is on the way, and they want you to send their entries to gallery@jagex.com.
And last but not least, we have 10 epic new weapons and shield skins. Solomon has 10 new skins available in his store, including a Razor Whip Blade, and most of them are on sale.
Very good. So you can check out all those updates, of course, on the RS website, or if you don't want to do that and you want to use ours, just head on over to update.rsbme.com and grab the link there. All right, so Some Like It Cold, the quest, the Penguin storyline advances in this quest.
Uh-huh.
So which one of you guys wants to give a little rundown of the plot of this quest? Reed?
I will. Okay, so one of the PBJ polar bear, that's the polar bear agents, has been captured by the walrus, who
it's essentially
who controls
a prisoner
the
of war
sea.
Camp.
Yeah, but it's Prisoner of Walrus, and that made me very happy last week.
Why?
I was just giggling a lot. because I thought it was really funny. And then one of the PBJ agents was taken captive, and the walrus sends Chuck, the polar bear in Ardugni's zoo, a ransom letter from the walrus, and then you need to go find the walrus's underlings, henchmen, who are the seals, and they're near Relica because you're going to break them out. Well, Larry is there too.
Replace the rock crabs.
What?
They didn't really replace
it. In the place where the rock crabs are.
Mm. Yeah, in that place. And then you go there, and they want you to entertain them because they're sleeping, and they like sleeping.
And isn't the entertainment to act as a distraction to get the head walrus guy to come out of his den so you can steal his egg for whatever reason?
Oh,
that
no,
was?
That's later.
Oh. Okay, so I skipped ahead
so
a bit.
So you try to entertain them and you fail, and then you ask them about what would entertain them, and they mentioned a band, and the band they love is the two penguins, Ping and Pong. And so you go to the iceberg, and they're standing right there, and you realize that you need to go get your penguin suit, but then they just say something like, "It's okay, man. We know you're a human. We were just waiting for you to embrace it."
Yes. It's like coming out of the closet, isn't it?
You know, you gotta admire getting these little messages in everywhere, eh?
Mm. See, told you Jagex is liberal.
Okay.
And then they said that they will entertain the seals if you'll make their costumes. And you do that. And then the penguins entertain them. And they take you to the walrus camp because they want them to entertain there. And then Then you find Larry, who has been indoctrinated.
And Larry's the bear, right?
No, Larry is the one
he's the one that's currently disguised as a penguin because he'd been brainwashed.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. And then after that, is that when what I said about the egg comes in?
Close to there. Basically, what
happens
after?
You need to. Larry feels helpless, and because he doesn't have an egg, and the walrus likes to eat eggs for dinner, so you have to make you have to make enough noise, and then the walrus will come out and yell at the seals, and then you go in and steal the egg, and then you need to. Well, the seals also captured the Red October, or the submarine.
Red Rectuber. The Rectuber
from the last quest. They captured it, and in order to escape, you need to repair it. So you repair it under the guise of making it into a stage. And then while you're escaping, you get chased and you have to play Battlefish.
Oh, that was fun. That was the best part of the quest.
And then if you die, you go to death, and Ping and Pong are there too, and they talk about some sort of deal too, so it's safe.
Yeah, of course, because it's typical Quest, you know, instanced in this day and age.
Yeah.
Then after that, you pretty much reach land and quest complete.
Yeah.
Does this quest get a seal of approval?
Fail, shame.
I don't get it. Fail. Please explain.
Shane,
was that you? Get a seal of approval? Yes.
You didn't mention that you get to play Battlefish.
Oh, and then the little penguin and the egg is hatched. And his name is Sheldon. Yeah, at the very end of the quest.
Oh, right. Okay, yes.
You forget, Shane doesn't pay attention.
Yeah.
I was doing it at 4 a.m., by the way. Okay, so that's essentially a rundown of the quest.
There are Freddie Mercury references, too, and it made me happy.
Yes, there's a lot of pop culture reference in this quest.
Yeah.
What is Freddie Mercury?
What?
What is this Freddie Mercury reference?
One second. Let me get the image.
Okay. I'm assuming this is from like a movie or a TV show.
Freddie Mercury is a member of the band Queen. It's the one on the left.
I see.
And the other one, did you get the other reference? What Pong was?
No.
Kiss?
Oh, yes, that one. Yeah, yeah.
I think
about
the left. I had that all the way around. I knew that one was Kiss. Because it was the black clothing and the very gothic.
Oh, and
face
they did
paint.
More cowbell too.
I did get that one actually. So,
really?
You know, it just seems like these penguin quests are the pop culture quests in RuneScape. If not, they're trying to attack the Russians.
What?
I said they're the main sources of pop culture.
I heard you the first time. It was
reference in RuneScape. Otherwise, they're trying to attack the Russians as they did in the first two. There wasn't much anti-Russian sentiments in this one, you know?
No, there wasn't.
You still ended up sinking
the sub. Actually, made me sort of wonder if the penguins aren't all evil.
Why is that?
Well, I can't remember who it was, but it's either Ping Pong or the Fence, but they said that they didn't actually want to take over the world. Did you catch on to the thing how the penguins used to be the polar bear's slaves?
Yes, I did. You know, I thought about that too, that maybe it's not all that we're thinking here. Maybe it's just like the cold
thing
was, and kind of
there's more.
Kind of a misunderstanding of two ways of doing things, maybe, and the penguins just wanted to continue on with their way, but maybe we're starting to see what the actual plot is behind everything.
Yeah. Although, it's just pescaling Pax that's the problem.
Pescaling Pax?
The leader of the penguins?
Oh, okay. Well, we didn't see much of him in this one, didn't we?
Didn't see anything of him.
Yeah. So, also with this quest, did you guys find it funny that you're walking around as not as a penguin without any extra clothes on when there's clearly like a winter storm outside blowing around, all kinds of snow and stuff?
Well, we basically did the same thing whenever we do, you know,
desert treasure.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, but the ice.
I just felt it was more pronounced this time because they had the blowing snow and stuff. You know, what about Kami?
Kami, what?
What?
I thought you said something about someone being a Kami.
I said winter is coming.
Oh.
And Shane would not get that reference,
yep,
but I'm sure
90 degrees here.
But I'm sure other people will get it. But you know, Shane, this is a video game. No video game is ever realistic with clothing, anyway. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
plenty of comics poke fun at the fact that most female characters end up having armor that covers 10% of their body, but they're supposed to be give them the best protection in the game.
Are they that generous?
The state of the world's graphic designers for games.
Rest.
Yeah. Okay then.
Leave it
but
everywhere. No, that's advertising.
Well, the quest itself was ultimately pretty short. Everything was pretty easy to figure out. I like the battlefish part at the end because it was a little bit of nostalgia coming back in.
Why is that?
Because I used to have a Star Wars battleship game in my house.
Oh.
Was it one of the electronic ones?
Yeah, it was.
Where you put in all the stuff? Yeah, I had an electronic one. It wasn't Star Wars, but I kind of want to figure out what happened to that now.
But you know, the funny thing was that I was actually watching the battleship movie like the night before. I was like, oh, this is interesting. So it like, wow. So I'm even though the movie honestly had nothing to do with
battleship. The movie probably has nothing to do with the game, does it?
There was like one scene with the battleship theme in it, and then that was it. I was like, well, that sucks. But you know, basically I think most people who hated it never played it as a kid because it's really a 90s toy after, you know, if you're born in 2000.
Oh, yeah,
or so.
I enjoyed it. Reed, did you play that as well, Battleship?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
And I think most people who hated it are the ones who can't figure out that if there's two spaces here and you know the ships are at least three spaces long, you
it's
don't
the
have
patrol
to fire
boats.
Any. There wasn't
yeah,
any
that's incident. Two. I kept checking that
here.
In Battlefish. I thought I was had to keep poking around for the 2 and 5 ships, but there's only 3 and 4.
Yeah, I figured that one out when there wasn't any 2s and 5s when I didn't have any 2s or 5s.
That's.
But
well, your ship is really big. It takes up like I think 8 blocks
you're
total.
Eight.
Six.
Yeah.
Ooh, 6. But basically, you're a what is it, aircraft carrier in that submarine. But if you really think about it, why don't you just dive? You are a submarine.
Dive, dive, dive. Yes.
But you know, I don't know if it was me or what, but I kind of felt that the battlefish part was kind of one thing that really burnt the living daylights out of me was he hit my ship, but he never killed it.
Yeah, and you know, the AI is so stupid. It
like,
hit my ship,
yeah,
and then it goes off to hit the opposite side of the map.
I'm glad that they did it at random, though. Because think about it. If they hit, on the last part, if they hit your ship, you're dead.
Well, I would have more, I mean, you're only dead after everything is shot up. So I was like, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, I would still have one ship left.
You know what I found really annoying about this quest in particular with the Battlefish game at the end was the fact that the UI was one of those old platformers where you had to just keep clicking back and forth between assigning people. Why not have the assignment window open at the same time as the Battlefish board?
Yeah, that was annoying.
Well, if you really think about it, why don't you just strap them onto that room and say, stay here?
Yeah,
because there are only
repair.
4 people, but there are 5 things.
That's when you grab. That's when you grab onto the radio and say, "Dude, get over here."
You know, that's actually a common thing in computer science. Resource distribution problems like that, and essentially the tactic is to wait until you have one that's sufficient to repair what you need to repair, but don't waste someone that's full to only repair something that's at half strength right now. So you have to be kind of meticulous in the way you hand out the assignments.
Well,
is there anything else relating to the actual story of this that we need to mention before we talk about how this relates to the penguins in general?
To the story? No.
To the whole story overall?
Yeah, well, to the penguins. Like, how does... obviously, I don't think we're done with the penguins. I think there's still going to be more penguin quests in the future. This was by no means an endgame quest.
Well, basically what I think is going to happen, we got Larry back, so they're going to debrief him, and he's probably going to say, like, yeah, I remember they're building some giant mass weapon that's going to kill everybody, and we have, you know, we have to stop them somehow. But I also
have to stop something similar to the order of the Cuban Missile Crisis.
But my other thing is,
we're going to build satellite lasers and send them into space.
Nah.
Like Reagan wanted to.
Nah, not enough salami. There's not enough salami in the game.
Salami?
But, yeah.
I don't get
it. But you never watch Mythbusters. Anyway, what happened... the other thing, though, is that one of the rewards coming for this quest is also that you have... You can do a thieving portion in the circus, which I think that one's a little iffy because you get 10 tries to do 5 things, and most of the time I get all 5 right away anyway. But the other thing you can do is that there's, I think, 3 new ghostly penguins roaming around.
Yes,
and
that's
if
right.
You're lucky enough to find those, by all means, you are super lucky, because I don't think anyone's going to be able to find them for a very, very long time. At least
I wonder 60, how many points they give.
Three each.
Okay. So that's actually not 9 points then.
Actually, no. Was it only one
there
or
four
three?
Of them?
No, was it only one or?
I thought there was only one.
Well, there's some that are 1 and 2 points.
There's only one.
There's one ghost penguin?
One added penguin that's worth 3 points.
Yeah, so the total is
19 now. 19 penguin points available.
Yeah.
What the hell are you
That's
doing?
That's nice. There? Okay.
That's very nice.
And, let's see. So I think that with the ghostly penguin, if they introduce that, I'm wondering if we'll be heading into the ghost zone, heading toward the east.
Maybe.
They may be planning an alliance with the vampires and then cause a whole total world domination, and it'll be up with the gnomes and... What? Wouldn't that be fun?
That's good.
Have the
Glenn going North to conquer second... the east?
No, partner up with all the vampires, and then we'll have to ally with the... That's, you know, this will be great. A great Grandmaster quest, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, and have the Dragonkin come in between
World
somewhere.
War III, conquer the East. Russia?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, and then at the same time, they'll introduce Asia, because we still have that katana guy.
It's you, Trekkie.
No, I was born in the US. Alright, so...
Alright,
Want to wrap it up with...
Yeah, I just think penguins are good, and this was a good quest. We all enjoyed this quest, I think, right?
I loved it.
Yes, I think they should make the Battlefish thing a little mini game somewhere.
That'd be fun to have. It'd be better than anything the games room had, you know? I bet people still don't even go down there.
I've seen people down there. It's just like once in a blue moon.
Yeah, but, I host a wedding down there. That's about it.
I think they should put it over there, too. Make a little...
Yep.
Make money off of it.
Bored. Yeah, that'd be good, eh? Yeah. So aside from the extra ghost penguin and the thing in the circus, you also will get a reward. Actually, there's an early bird bonus with this quest. An extra 40k crafting and thieving XP, 10k construction and fishing XP as well.
I don't need half of that.
I know, neither do I, but still, it's nice to have the early bird bonus on these. And it gets people to play quests, which is good.
Yeah. And this one's relatively easy, too, so if you've completed everything else, this one you'll be done. You can finish the last one and be done with this really quick.
Yeah, the regular reward, though, is 1 quest point, 40k crafting and fishing XP, and 10k construction and thieving XP. So, overall, I think a pretty decent reward for the time invested, especially with the circus and penguin event, should you ever manage to find one of those.
Now World 60.
Yeah, I'm sure someone will find one eventually, and I assume you need to use that ring.
Well, the problem is that you need the ring of visibility, but they also teleport.
Yes.
So that's the hard part, is that you may find it, but... finding it again will almost be impossible unless Chuck tells you he's somewhere.
Yeah.
You never know.
I'll go.
All right. So there's our quest for the month. Moving on now. Bug abusers banned, so we got more cheaters.
Oh, that's not new. There's always been cheaters. These people, I think they did it on, well, I know they did it on purpose, but I think they did it to get themselves out of the game.
Essentially what happened here is there was a GP duplication bug relating to the money pouch in the Duel Arena and Crucible. So there is a way that people were able to essentially duplicate money and items and whatnot. And of course, you know, Jagex has a strong stance against this, according to some people who think otherwise. But I think this kind of thing is still on their radar. As an example for here, just to mention, they listed a few players. Two of them were maxed players. One of them had over 600 days played. Mm-hmm. Another had 334, 302, actually three maxed players, one with 200 million XP stats. You got to wonder if that person just wanted to get out of the game and start fresh. Lots with over 2,000 total. Strangely, one with only 693 total and 157 days played.
Yeah, that's more than I have. More days played than I have, and
I bet this person was just off farming at the Duel Arena or something, you know, because there are people that do that, and they just, that's the form of gambling that's always existed in the game, RuneScape Boxing.
RuneScape Boxing, that thing's...
Yeah, because it's pure random. So, they say they're also removing wealth from any associated accounts, mules, and secondary accounts owned by the same player. And they said there are other accounts that have accessed the bug but not abused it. These accounts will also be rolled back to Friday, August 3rd. So they say that whatever you do, whenever you find a bug, reporting it is always, always the right thing to do. And they end off by saying that they have new ways of analyzing data so that they can be very sure of who was or wasn't abusing the bug, and they're 100% sure that the action they've taken are therefore accurate and will be using the new data to help us deal with other issues in the very near future.
Well, so Shane, do you think, well, we know they did this on purpose, but you think they all did this to make a point about the game? Because let's face it, as you said, most of these people are relatively high, and you need to have a max stash of coins before you can even do this thing anyway. So if you really think about all these, I don't think none of these people really need the money anyway. They all chose to, let's get out, let's just quit this game, let's give us a reason to quit forever or something.
Well, that could be it, but there's something else I've noticed with RS players in the past. They tend to do the things they do to make a statement because they want to get some kind of fame out of it, which is a completely stupid thing to do. And you really got to question what kind of people are behind those accounts. But I think that could be it too. They just want to see what they can do. It's just like, let's see if we can play the system and not get caught. Oh dear, I got caught. I'll just make a new account and look for a different bug and do the same thing again and have fun while it lasts. Because if you think about it, private servers. People play on private servers all the time, and they just do it because they got the little pixels in front of them to show that. So I just think they're just doing this to get the money and have fun with it, which, you know, and following from that, I don't think Jagex should be giving them the coverage on these news posts, because they actually did show the names on here, which I don't agree with.
I would like them to try and get rid of more bots. That would be nice.
Yeah, they will. Well, they said this will be used in the very near future, so I bet this some kind of analysis thing is going to be used for banning the accounts that are linked to bots, if you know what I mean. Like,
all they really need to do is just go on out and all they really have to do is just go on out and, like, okay, see which names are like GFBI117301300 1P.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Almost all of those are bots anyway. We all see them every single day. And they all have bot uniform too.
Yeah, the skinhead type.
Go away.
Okay, so about that penguin.
Okay, so back to the penguin for a moment.
I just talked to Canada Girl. She's the person who does the,
World 60 Penguins.
The World 60 Penguins. And she said that they don't have the patterns down just yet, but they're pretty sure that it travels among the 34 penguin, 1-point penguin spawns. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense, because it, you want to use the existing infrastructure when you make something like this.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
So has anybody seen one yet? Do you know that?
No, I have
going
not.
Away.
Quit it! Go away.
What? Penny?
What?
Dog. Go!
Oh.
Move. Bad dog.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So you've been having a little conversation with a dog the entire time here.
Yes.
I haven't.
Go away. Well, I mean, Trekkie has. But. Okay. So now that we know about the penguin, I want to talk about something else that was rather strangely mentioned in the news posting regarding the bug abusers. They said they have several clever and fair ways of making sure that the number of these rares, like party hats, remain the same. So what does that mean to you guys?
Well, considering they have the ability to roll back, they can probably put some of them back to the players who sold it. You never know, but I think the problem with that is...
I bet they just put it in the Grand Exchange.
I was thinking that too, and you know, if they do that, that's kind of iffy. It's kind of an iffy market tactic, you know?
Yeah, well.
Well, I mean, it's not like they're putting in 10 billion of something that's commonly traded, like, I don't know, U-Logs. Because that would.
But, I mean, wouldn't the people of who own these rares want to have a truly free rare market in that if somebody gets banned with a party hat or something, their rares will go up in value?
Aren't they all at max, though?
No, they're not. They're not at max, which is very strange. The blue party hat is the only one that's at max. Everything else is below 1.5 billion, except for white.
Really?
Yeah. Green's 1.2, purple's 972M, red is 1.33, and yellow's 1.06 billion.
You sure it was blue?
Yeah, blue is maxed at 2.1. That's the only one.
There we go.
So... I mean, there's no doubt about it that the party hats have gone down a bit. So I mean, if you own one of these, why wouldn't you want the price to go up? So
what have the graphs done in the past couple days?
Which one would you be interested in most?
I don't know, the party hats.
It went up a notch the other on the 9th and the 8th. Before that, it was kind of constant. We had another few rises on the between the 4th and 6th.
Yeah, well, those... So,
I mean, yeah. It's been going up steadily if you look at it. The only one it has not has been blue, of course, because that's maxed. White's also gone up, too.
Well, basically what happened is that we know that they're adding some party hats into the exchange or something like that. No, they banned a bunch of people. Hopefully they stay banned and won't come back. But,
yeah.
I don't know. This is like, the third biggest bug abuse they've had this year? Last time it was the Armadale. I think the other time was the Ring of Wealth bug that was happening.
Oh, with the
guaranteed, powerful.
What's it called?
God of War's Dungeon.
Corporal Beast.
Corporal Beast, the sigils. Basically, Ring of Wealth bug basically guarantee you to get the super rare item from that boss. So all you really have to do is go there, kill it, and then you all get it. Yeah. A lot of people there were a lot of spirit shields that week.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't agree with that, but I mean, it's good that they're making sure the number stays the same. I just don't know if putting them in the Grand Exchange is the right idea. Maybe they don't even do that. Who knows? Because they just say they have several clever ways of doing it. Maybe they give them to poor people randomly.
Yeah, right.
Why? I'm poor on RS in terms of things. Yeah. I mean, I'd consider myself as on the list of getting a free party hat as a handout from Jagex.
Right. Shane, what are you smoking?
Nothing.
Uh-huh. Do you believe that one, Reed?
I don't understand what's happening right now.
All right, well, let's move on.
What's going on?
There's one more thing I want to mention this week. There is a topic, or a RuneWire post initially created on our forums regarding Jagex and the ability for people to make change with the company, because some people might see the most recent activities such as Squeal of Fortune solo mods as a problem, like we know some people see it that way, right?
Okay.
So there was a question asked by this person who started this. Essentially, is the player who is still supporting Jagex paying the $5 a month and buying spins and stuff, are they at fault for the current practices going on at Jagex, or is this just a natural thing that they're doing from a business sense? What do you guys think? Are the players at fault who are still subscribing and paying members for what's going on at Jagex, Squeal of Fortune and stuff, for the people that don't like it? Should those people be taking it out on us who are paying members?
Well, they're not contributing to how it's going, but they're contributing to that continuing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because paying $5 every month didn't create anything that people are complaining about, like Squeal of Fortune. But they don't like it, but they're still subscribed, then...
Well, it's sort of like the whole Call of Duty phase we had a couple years ago. We were asking people not to support Call of Duty by not buying the game, but what happens? People still bought it anyway. But then what happens? People complain about campers. People complain about hackers. People complain about glitches. It's like, we did tell you guys not to buy the game. It's not our fault if you 12-year-olds don't listen.
Legitimate strategy.
I mean, you know, remember the same thing happened with Left 4 Dead 2. When they announced Left 4 Dead 2 was coming out, people were up in arms about Left 4 Dead 1, that they won't update that game anymore and no one will play that game anymore. And then suddenly, you know, when Left 4 Dead 2 actually came out, was in full release, it actually sold more than expected because of all the free advertisement.
Did you know Gabe Newell flew to the leader of the Left 4 Dead guy, like the people who were saying not to buy it, he flew to that guy and talked to him. There's a group on Steam that was just anti Left 4 Dead 2, and in that group, a higher percentage of people who were in that group bought it than people who weren't in that group but had Left 4 Dead 1. Because he convinced the guy.
Oh, that's just funny. So,
But, you know, basically with this thing is that if you don't like it, you can take your money out. If you really think about this, Shane, me and you, maybe Reed, I don't know how often you play anymore, Reed, but basically we're investing in Jagex. We're investing in Jagex to provide us with entertainment. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Either way, you're putting money in for them to give entertainment to you. It'll be like, you know, buying a TV. You buy it because you're hoping that people who make TV shows give us entertainment. And if you don't like it, well, you wouldn't buy the TV in the first place.
Exactly.
Or subscribe and, to your cable.
There's no reason why you need to be supporting this if you're not feeling like this is a value to you. The best course of action, as you said, is to just pull your money out and put it somewhere else, whether that be under your pillow or in some other game.
Yes. Join us in Star Trek Online. We would love to have more people. There, I did it, Shane. You owe me. You owe me energy credits.
Okay, I will.
But I don't think
real world trading is that against the rules in that game?
No, I'm advertising. I'm not trading anything. I'm advertising.
And okay.
Shane said he'll give me 1,000,000 energy credits for each person I get into the game. And Mike gets double.
Wait, really?
But you also said if I can get Mike into the game, you would buy me my own ship.
I did say that. Yes, I did.
Yes.
Wait, so what do I get if I get Mike into it?
A pound.
We'll talk about that later.
Anyways,
so back to this. Sorry for that little bump in the road there. Yeah, players are not at fault. It's just let us play the game that we're paying because we want to support it without hearing about this every single day. Because, you know, after almost 10 years of this, it gets tiring of hearing people complain about this game.
What's interesting thing is I was talking to one of my friends. She's, we were talking about the whole Squeal of Fortune thing, and she actually said, you know, one of the things is that she's a admin / moderator for some small forum, and obviously, like with any other forum, there's plenty of people trying to sell gold onto the website. And one thing she said she noticed is that the prices have gone down quite a bit. Like back then, it used to be maybe, I don't know, I'm just picking numbers up, like, I don't know, 10 million, well, 1 billion gold for like $100, while now it's like 75 or 60 or something, depending on where you shop. And so some people are saying that, well, maybe Squeal of Fortune is working because instead of putting real money into those sites, you're putting money into SOF. You know, that's money you cannot spend on RuneScape gold farming sites.
Exactly. And I said this when Squeal came out.
Something. You can't get ripped off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
And
there's still that 200 mil spot on that thing that I'm waiting for to bankroll the next farming skill of the month.
And that was a secret.
What secret?
I don't know.
All right. Anyways, that's enough RS discussion for today. Let us know in the topic for this episode if you like this new format of a lightning round of news before we get going on actual discussion, or if you like it how it used to be.
Okay, then. So shall we move on to questions?
Yes, you can read the first one.
Okay, hold on, let me get this link to work first. So this first question is from Jason B, asking us, can we advertise his thread? I'm trying to get it open. Oops, that's not it. Damn it.
This is why you open tabs before the show.
It's not my fault that Google Documents want me to down install something just to copy something.
All right. Well,
there we go. There. Okay. So let me try and get it up. Shane, I hate you.
I got it up. I can do this. Jason's weekly giveaway. He's giving back to the community, so he's going to be running a weekly giveaway. Prizes will range from Banner's God Sword or 5 mil or even general skilling items. Giveaways look like they happen every week. The last one will be on August 12th. So that's a couple of days from the time you guys will be hearing this. So if you hear this, you could head over to his forum topic, which you can find in the show notes once again at update.rsbnb.com.
Oh my god, Earth.
What?
Free stuff, please. less than three. That's what you wrote.
Yeah, I know.
You're not that poor.
Or that young. I'm an adult now. I'm not five.
Yes, I'm very happy about that. All right, so...
Why?
glad to have you doing that, Jason. And also, can we see more Uncle Dano on the show? That depends on the update we have, if he's available, and what else we have planned. But we like what he does, so I'm sure you'll be seeing more from him in the future at some point.
Shh. You shouldn't spoil it, Shane. That's not fun.
All right. Reed, you want to take the next one?
All right. Dear hosts, I'm doing some farming now, and I just reached level 45. What should I be growing? Currently, I do spirit weed, willow trees, and nothing else. Also, what are the best money-making methods you have used? Lastly, what is your favorite city/town in Moonscape? Love, Duke Juker. I added the love.
Yeah, and you need to put his article out after we finish the show here.
All right, so, Shane, you're the farming expert. What should he be doing?
I would upgrade your trees, if possible, to maple, if you can afford that, as well as throw in some fruit trees as well, like pineapple or something. Because as we said on the farming focus, what you can do is you can do herb farming. And if you do enough herb farming, you will effectively be able to fund maples and pineapples all the way to 99. So I would also throw in some herbs there that would bring a bit of the money back. And also throw in some tree seeds. I mean, fruit trees as well. You could keep doing willows. That would also just mean you get more profit. So I just throw in some trees to that and maybe do a different herb depending on how that one's doing. The calculation's relatively simple to determine profit for a herb. All you need to do is you take the price of the herb, multiply it by 7, because after lots of testing, I found that's about the general average for the amount of herbs that you get per seed. So just multiply those two numbers and subtract it from the herb price, or the seed price rather, and you will find out how much profit you make per patch. And then of course multiply that by 5, and then by however many times a day you'll do it, because that's how many of them you'll be planting. And that'll determine the profit for however much you need for your trees.
Mm.
And as for best money making methods, I like herb farming. Don't do it as much nowadays. I know also in the past, clue scrolls used to be good. Slayer's good in general. What do you guys have?
Me? Well, you know me. I'm Mr. Crafter dude, and I'm buying bonds. I kind of found a simple way of making money. It's not a lot of money, but it's very simple. Just buy a lot of spirit shards at 24 GP each, and then sell them all for 25 GP each.
Oh, I got a funny story regarding that.
You make a penny every time.
Are you guys both sitting down?
Why?
Yes.
I bought 10,000 spirit shards. Just randomly, I put an offer in for 4 GP each, and they bought. So I got 10,000 spirit shards for 40K. So I can then upsell those by a factor of at least 5.
Yay.
Or 6. So.
So well, what, play th- what? How much profit lesson, will that be?
Like, well, the lesson of the day there is
300K?
Yeah, the lesson somewhere of the day there is to play the grand exchange and just put random offers in like that for those kind of little commodities like that, and you never know what kind of stupid person you'll run into selling them for such low price.
I think they did just get rid of them. You never know. But, exactly. Yeah, so I do crafting, a little bit of fishing. Fishing is mostly if I need food and I go down there, and once I'm down there, like, I'll just wait till I catch more, then I'll come back up and sell, like, you know, half whatever I need. One other little thing, though, Duker, okay.
What?
My bad. What other
he
thing?
He called him Duker.
Yeah, I don't know. I always do that with him. What's his name? One other little thing is that willow branches from your tree gives around a little bit around 900 GP each. 900 GP, and you get roughly 6 of them from each tree every day or so. So if you are growing willow trees, you may want to harvest them. You have nothing to grow them.
I
remember when
they
were
used for the giant ant, and that's a that's a green charm familiar that people sometimes make.
I actually remember when they were, I can remember, I think it was like 5k each or something, and then suddenly it just crashed. Right. It just went straight down to like 100 gold. Like, what the heck just happened? But now they've kind of stabilized around 1k each. So.
And what is this?
Willow branch.
The willow branch.
Willow branch.
The clippings you get from willow trees.
Wasn't used for anything.
Yeah, giant ant. Familiar.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I've used those. I've made those.
So there, those are okay. That's, you know, a little side money here and there. My other little method is whenever I'm doing something that does not require a familiar, I love using my magpie. That thing always makes me money. I do love my magpie, Shane.
How much money do you get?
Last time I did it, I was just crafting. I was training my crafting. I had 2 magpies in the course of an hour, and it got me around 75k in gems and rings.
Wow,
that was a good day. But you know, basically, when I've always found that if I'm in a place, if I'm doing something that does not require familiar, and I can summon a familiar, I always throw in a magpie. It pays for itself because the tertiary that he needs is a gold ring, and those are dirt cheap on a grand exchange, and you make that money back just by getting one.
What charm do they use?
In the kingdom.
They use crimson, I think.
Really?
Let me double check. Magpie. He is crimson. Is it? Yeah.
Anyways, well, he's crimson, really?
Where is it? Oh, got the wrong one. No, wait, gold. Oh,
yeah,
green.
That's
sorry,
cool.
Green. Green, green. Sorry.
Oh, that's just. Oh, green?
Yeah, so the whole thing costs, if you buy it from the whole thing costs around 2k to make, but I usually get more than 2k when I'm done with it. You need a gold ring and a green charm and 88 shards.
That's not too bad.
Mm-hmm. I always bring my money back from it, especially all the rings that I get. Was it last time I had used 3 magpies, I got about 8 rings of recall, sold them all for like 800 each. So I made my money back just from selling sapphire rings, and the rest is profit.
So. Now that we know how to make money, what's our favorite town?
Nine and Snot.
Okay, Reed.
What? What did you say, Trekkie?
Nine and Snot.
Oh. Always been fond of the elven city, Letia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my primary one.
Yeah, it's always nice and quiet there.
Yeah, I like that.
Also like the vampire city that they added recently.
I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah,
I like Nine and
Snot. We did that quest.
I like Nine and Snot because it's really, really close to a furnace. So I always find it a whole lot easier just to craft over there, and it's usually really quiet. No one's ever there. My only pet peeve is that there's no collection in the box. You have to travel on the boat just to get to the other side because these two won't, you know. It's basically Berlin Wall in the middle.
Okay. As for me, since Yellow, I mean Reed, already said
Yellow?
Yellow?
I don't know where that came from.
What?
Wow.
I don't know where that came from. Since Reed already said Laledia. Must be the double L. I'll say an L. I just find that that's a good primary city because it's close to the house portal and it's got a bank and everything you need there. And it's a lot more quiet than somewhere like Falador or Varrock.
Okay.
So.
Thank you, yeah, Joker. So. All right. And the next one, our next question is from MageGuy08. Dear Shane, who would this important mystery person be? As for everyone else, do you think RuneScape is still worth paying? Why or why not? Who's the mystery person thingy?
I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about, I guess. I don't think I said mystery person. I think I quoted you by name as being on the show.
Quit it.
Yeah, you
did. I'm not sure.
Hey, I'm sorry, sure. Tracky. I won't do it again.
Do what again?
Be a bad dog.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm going to hit you if... Go away!
I'm sorry.
All right. So, I don't know what you're talking about, Mage Guy, because I did say Reed was going to be on the show, but anyways, for everyone else, do you think RuneScape is still paying for? Why or why not?
I thought we just answered that question, more or less, with the, you know, the whole...
With our discussion.
Yeah. If you think it is, if you like the way it's going, pay for it. If you don't...
Shut up and make sure that you're not giving me a headache.
I'm sorry.
Okay. But the other thing is still relatively cheaper than many other games out there anyway.
Oh yeah. I mean, WoW, cheaper than WoW. Cheaper than Star Trek Online if you want to buy any of the expansions to make your account more gold like, you know? Cheaper than any console game or even StarCraft 2.
Well, so. At least with StarCraft 2, you pay once. So we're more focused on like MMO type where, you know, you have to pay every month. Although many games are starting to doing the free-to-play route because they're not making enough money.
Yeah, and you know, I wonder where they got that business model from.
EverQuest.
Okay, that was the first.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Alrighty then. So yeah, we pretty much answered this before, but the answer, of course, to all of us is yes, because we just feel like we still get something, benefit from the game, like Trekkie said, your analogy of investing in it, because you hope they're going to provide you with some entertainment, just like the TV that you buy.
Cable subscription.
Yeah, which is horrible, but I don't have any voice in that here.
Okay.
All right. Next one is from Lord Rickles, which sounds a lot like Tickles. Dear lovely hosts, we all know that Jagex is... What?
It was biting on my mouse wire. Go away! Alright, that's it. I'm locking you outside.
I'm sorry, Draggy.
Reed, get in the car.
I'm sorry. Don't hurt me.
Okay. Dear lovely hosts, we all know that Jagex is currently working on further bot preventative measures within the game. However, if any other nukes are precedent, these will also be cracked eventually. Why go through all this trouble to write code that slows the game down when they have access to player information? They have the ability to track trades, view banks, monitor level gains, so why not simply come up with an algorithm that checks account for classic signs of gold farming and ban those that fail to filter out? They have all this data being stored, why don't they use it? The way they're going about this seems so backwards and futile. They clearly have the ability to have used this data to ban those bug abusing the money glitches stated in a news post. Why not automate it and let the ban hammer fly? Perhaps you three can provide some insight. Thanks from your loyal listener, Lord Rickles. I mean, you are entirely right that this would be the best way of doing anti-bot prevention. But the problem is that some of the rates that bots can get with their XP gain just look too much like a normal player. I mean, bots could slow their XP rate down to be like a normal player, and you still have that same problem. The issue is that if they were to take this and make a truly heuristic-based thing, like an antivirus thing works...
resistance is futile.
Why?
Thank you, Raid.
I don't know.
I don't get where that played from. That. But that's okay. I lost my train of thought there. Thank you. But essentially, you'd still need to write the same amount of code to implement the heuristics and have it running all the time. So, I mean, you're still going to have the same code approach. But, I mean, that's what the bot nukes are. They're really looking for these signs that are not based on the data, but actually based on the actions in-game, which is why they slowed the game down a bit. But I see where you're coming from on that. And, I mean, it seems like that would be the ideal way to go, but I'm sure there's some reason that they're not, because otherwise, like, that'd be the first thing that you'd think of in order to do such a thing. I'm afraid we just don't have enough information to know why they didn't go with a heuristics-based thing like this from the beginning.
Well, basically, we won't know until they just tell us how they're doing it.
My mic has been muted for several minutes.
Why?
Because I played that small clip and then I stopped it. I muted myself. But the reason I played that is because there are just so many of them. It's just...
Resistance is futile?
Yeah.
And that's not the actual Borg, you know?
Yeah, that was Jean-Luc Picard.
No, it wasn't.
It was what? The cutest.
Yes, oh, it was.
Really? That's bad.
Yes.
I didn't pick up on that.
After he was... Oh, that's way too loud.
Okay, quit
that
it.
That was you.
It's a simulated...
Okay,
it was
Reed,
Hugh
quit
from
it.
The episode entitled I, Borg. Okay, so where were we? Too many bots. It would be nice if they had heuristics, but I don't know. What do you guys have to add on to this?
Basically, just stay vigilant and just report any bots that you can see. I wish they would. What I think they should really do is give veteran player mods more control in the game. It's, you know, it's the mods that you've had them for so long. They have a clean record. You know that they won't abuse all they have right now. It's just be able to mute people. That doesn't do very much. So I would say, you know, okay, they have the ability to ban people outright. Then Jackass basically sorts them out. And usually most of us can distinguish which one is the bot and which one is not, depending on what they're doing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The other thing also is what I think they'll also do is, you know, place. Well, one of the things you remember when they made the Varag runecrafting guy be the one that no longer gives the runecrafting cape, and suddenly all the bots were screwed for a day until they figured out they needed to update the code. So what I'm thinking is maybe they should start randomizing it every day if they can figure out a way.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's weird,
but of course,
go after the cape, though.
Well, it was a good marker in that, you know, this is where you'll.
Because he never turned, did he?
No.
Mm-hmm. And there was one other little thing that I found interesting was that when I was messing with bots, I would in Varag, I would actually keep closing the door. To the rune shop, and so basically they could not get in because I kept closing the door. But after we closed it so many times, it actually said it got stuck, and then they just run back in. And you can always tell which one are the bots because what happened is that you'll see them try and click in, and they'll run somewhere and kind of stop there for a while before coming back.
Yeah, and I actually am remembering back now to one of our bot episodes last year, and I think we talked about heuristic-based bots, and, you know, that is the way to go, but, you know, maybe it's just not possible with the current engine.
Well, they did try to optimize it a while back, but then they accidentally launched an EMP burst.
Yes.
Phew. Okay. Good boy.
All right, so thank you, Lord Rickles, for that. Anybody Boy, else have anything Yay. On here?
We got nothing else. Let's move on to the next question. This next question is from Poison Nova. Dear host, I would be getting 85 mining leader today. Where are the best places to mine runite ore? I would really say Heroes Guild, because I've honestly, interestingly enough, I haven't seen that many people actually mine stuff there. You can still
the
world
best
hop.
Place,
that really
the best place to do it is the Mining Guild Resource Dungeon.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
There's
one.
There's three rocks down there. Just go late at night and you'll be able to...
Dungeoneering.
Yeah, level 45 Dungeoneering required for that, actually.
Oh, okay. So that's not bad at all.
So not that bad.
Yeah, it's a nice little
there's
place.
There's also Keldegrim, which has two slots, but... of course, there's the Wilderness, but I would go to the Wilderness. Like, just for the fact of having three ores there in that... Resource Dungeon, that's by far the best. In my view, at least.
On
of course, you can't just sit there.
Of course, there are other
ores around there, so...
You can take a load and come
back. They're all adamantium and mithril down there anyway. And it's relatively close to a bank, so you don't have to worry about it too much. The other
and
place...
Also,
go ahead.
Also, remember that ores respawn faster depending on how full the server is.
Yeah,
so you can go there, mine some Ruinite, then mine some Mithril and go up, and then come back down. It should be done. Or you can just start keep world hopping. That always works.
Yeah. The one time I went to mine Ruin Ore, after I got 85 mining, I one-clicked... two of the ore slots down there. The other one took like 3 minutes for it to come out of the ore. Rock.
That's when you just grab dynamite. We have it. Right. We have the ability to just blow up every single ore spot. Just head down to the dig site, make some nitroglycerin, and throw it on the rock.
Just drop it.
And not to mention, we do have the toad bazooka. Just, you know, modify to take a cannonball.
We have the cannon.
That too. But actually, it'll bounce off. That wouldn't work very much.
Remember, there's the handgun thing. What's that hand thing called? That shoots
hand,
a cannonball
hand
that you
cannon.
Hold?
The hand cannon?
Yeah, the hand cannon.
Oui.
Oh, yeah. That.
Yeah.
Ah, lots of little things we could do, but sadly, you just gotta swing your pickaxe at the rock and hope it comes out.
And grab a mining golem.
Yeah, that too. Actually, the lava titan is the one you want, because that gives you a +10 boost on your mining level. Mm-hmm. So at level 87 mining, it mines like I'm level 97.
The what?
The lava titan. Gives a +10 invisible mining boost, so it effectively speeds up any ore that you mine.
You're saying lava titan...
I said lava titan.
Yeah, that's...
It's like saying...
Another word I miss...
Talk funny, you Canadian.
Okay, let's move on.
At least I didn't say
now.
A boot. Last one from Flash. You can read it.
Dear host, is the dragon pickaxe worth the money? Or is the advantage over the rune pickaxe too small to make a big enough difference? Flash. Note about questions.
You don't read italicized text.
He did that on purpose, you know that.
Yeah, he must have.
Why don't you fire him?
Anyways.
Okay.
Okay, thoughts on the dragon pickaxe?
Bye, guys.
I want one. But... it's too pricey for me right now, and the sad part was I actually know life down there trying to get one for a whole week and didn't get a single thing. While other people have said, I have friends who gotten three within a day. I was like, I hate him. I know, I do too. I seriously
I should
know
go down there and test my luck.
Go get I found,
they're currently going for about 12 mil on the exchange.
I just went down there with full Guthan. that lasted me like full Guthan, a little bit of food, and prayer potions. That's what kept me alive.
But anyways, I like the dragon pickaxe if you're doing long bursts of mining. Like, for example, if you're going from level 60 all the way to level 85, definitely use the dragon pickaxe. Or if you're going for 99, use the dragon pickaxe. But for day-to-day mining, like if you need to go pick up some coal or some runite ore, or even other kinds of ore, maybe even just a couple of loads of gold, I see no problem with the rune pickaxe. It's fast enough. I mean, it's not noticeable for just little mining trips, in my view.
And not to mention, you'll always have a bronze one in your tool belt.
Which is horrible, even for sandstone.
Even for what?
Sandstone.
Red sandstone.
Oh, you said sandstone.
Oh, well, I meant sandstone.
Okay.
All right. Anything else on this one, either of you?
If you want one, go for it. If you want to farm for it, go for it. If you want to be cheap like Reed, go for it.
What?
You mean cheap like you?
Not cheap. I'm frugal.
That's what difference. Y'all say.
Y'all, you can't say y'all.
Tricky, you're Asian. Okay. You can't say y'all. You're Asian and you live in California.
So moving on from that. If you want to send us a question like these six folks did, you can send us a question to questions@rsbnb.com if it's audio. Or if you want to send in an audio question through different means, we have the Skype address, which is just RSBNB update, leave a voicemail there, or you can phone into 571-572-2632 and leave us a voicemail.
Hey.
Or, of course, just wait until next week and post on the questions topic. That works too.
Send in audio questions.
Yes, we like audio questions. Those are the best because we get to hear your voice and you get to show your voice around the podcast, and best of all, we don't have to read anything, so it saves our vocal cords for later on in the show.
If it's me singing, your eardrums feel wonderful too, right, Shane?
Let's not talk about that right now. Dun, dun, dun.
Credit, you know Shane
all
does
right,
music.
Moving on. Steam expands beyond games, coming September 5th. Steam is going to be launching a set of software titles. What do you make of that?
Have they given any more information?
No, they said they'll range from creativity to productivity. Many of the launch titles will take advantage of popular Steamworks features, such as easy installation, automatic updating, and the ability to save your work to your personal Steam cloud space so your files may travel with you.
Everything's going into clouds now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think that people will do?
I'm not entirely sure what the point of this is. I mean, have you guys ever thought of Steam as anything but a gaming company?
They're a good gaming company.
More than a gaming
I know they are.
Distribution.
So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I guess maybe they're wanting to compete with the Windows and Mac app stores, but I don't see them competing with the Mac app store. Maybe the Windows app store, but...
Maybe they'll find a way to be able to sync this up with Android and Apple. You never know.
No, you're not going to get Steam providing applications for Android and Apple. Definitely not Apple, and Android has been slowly... increasing the restrictions on their Play Store just to make things a little bit safer. We all remember that the founder of Valve, Gabe Newell, said that he didn't like Windows 8. And I was talking with Mike after the story came out, and he said maybe this is why he doesn't like Windows 8.
because
he's not
going
to be able to run his App Store on without competition.
Well, you will have competition anyway because it's still Android and Apple.
Yeah, but I just don't see the point. Unless, of course, they're planning to develop a Steam box or something, like a console for Steam gaming where you can just use Steam on it and that's it.
Well, they are trying to get into consoles right now.
What was the Apple gaming console that they were going to make?
Oh, they made it and it flopped. It was Pippin back in the 90s.
Oh, no. Oh, that may be an Onion thing I'm thinking of.
The iBots
or something.
Yeah, that is the fake one.
Okay.
You thought it was real?
No.
Okay.
That abortion complex somewhere is real, right?
What is that?
You don't read The Onion, do you, Shane?
No, because I think it's a bad example of what news should be, because there are poor people out there who are going to believe that it's real.
That's the sad part. People believed that there was an abortion complex. Like, a giant place where people can go get abortions.
Okay, but back to
God
Steam.
God bless America.
Oh, Reed, stay silent.
Okay.
Are you guys going to be using this? Or is this just going to be a waste?
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know what they may do.
We're back to that now.
Yes, we are.
We'll see.
It just doesn't make sense to me, but I figured we might as well put this in because we've talked about Steam before and we all like Steam.
Indeed.
All right, next up. Would you guys let Google show your mail results in the main Google search page?
No.
Well, you can sign up for a beta to do just that. So you type in a query in Google, and it'll also show results from your mail on the side, should you elect to enable this.
I remember hearing about this on the radio. So basically it shows your search engine results into your Gmail box, or?
No, the other way around. It shows your inbox results in your main search when you're searching for something. So if I sent you an email about doing the show and I searched for RuneScape podcast, there's a chance it would pull up our messages.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No,
the
thank you.
They
want to
do
my...
this. The reason they want to do this is to double the size of the amount of information they have to search to make search more personal. And eventually head towards a universal search. I mean, I can see the merit in the idea, but I know some people aren't going to like this, especially maybe even businesses or something, you know, having this in the search pool. And who's to say it's going to be 100% sandboxed to just your account? So there's going to be people who are worried about that as well. I just
worried
hope that when this
why?
Comes out for...
Putting
worried email. About their own mails being used for searching, like being available on Google server. Like, it's not available to anyone else, but still the fact that it's not in Gmail, it's in other places at Google might worry some people.
Oh, it's...
I mean, I'll probably enable this when it comes out. I don't have anything to fear from Google, but for the company's sake, I hope that they make it an opt-in solution.
Yeah.
Well, basically right now they're just pilot testing it, so only about a million people are in it right now, so you can opt in if you want, but I'm pretty
only
sure...
Only a million people.
You know, small
Which
if you really think about it.
Which is a small trial for Google.
Well, it is Google, so...
Yes.
But, you know, the other thing is that... You know, there's probably a way to opt out of it when it comes to full release. We'll see what happens with it.
Yes, that too. And, you know, I think there's bigger things to worry about with Gmail, actually. Like, for example, modernizing the email client, because effectively the structure of Gmail is the same as any web-based mail client's always been. It could use some modernization from the future, which is hopefully why they bought Sparrow.
Like what?
Well, you know... It's just email's been the same since the early 1990s. I think it needs to be made
more... It broke, don't fix it.
No, it needs to be made more real-time. And I hate to praise Facebook, but apparently Facebook has this chat feature where you can send a message through email to someone's at facebook.com email address. Then if they're on the website, it'll appear as chat. But if they're not, it will appear as an email in their Facebook inbox, or they will be notified later on if they don't subscribe to their Facebook email address, which I think is something that Google should do, because, I mean, isn't the point of an email just as an extension of chat? So I think that's where Gmail could go in the future. Not to say this is something that we need to discuss pertaining to search, but I just thought maybe that would be something to focus on instead of just universal search.
All right. Well, so anything else on this one, Shane?
Mm-mm.
All right. So let's move on to the... Oh, this sounds like something you really like, isn't it? The quantum teleportation. Jeez, I wonder where you figured this one out. All right.
Yeah, so essentially in China... In China, they teleported a qubit of data across a lake. 97 kilometers.
Okay. So, it's going to be a while before I can beam a whole person across the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is that it was always thought of in theory that teleportation via quantum entanglement would be possible. And like this, clearly it is. So it's just a matter of moving forward with the technology and figuring out how we're going to use this.
Wouldn't the idea of teleporting a whole person require more energy than the entire planet can produce at one time?
Yes. And if quantum entanglement works how we're thinking it works.
Yeah. Yay.
Anyways. But I just figured I'd throw this in to show that we are indeed making progress on the science front.
Yes. And we did land on Mars, and we're probably using some of this to, you know, send satellite signals back here on Earth.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know, England has the Olympic Games, we landed on Mars again.
And it's just like last year, they had the royal wedding. U.S.
And
we killed
Bin Laden. And then next day, there's like 300,000 newspaper ads with newspaper headlines with the U.S. kills Obama. You guys remember that?
Yes. Anyways. Let's move on to the Skill of the Month update for August. The Fishing Skill of the Month. Oh, we'll tell you after.
Yeah, he's too young to remember.
I don't think so, but... Essentially what happened... Do you remember last year when the U.S. killed Bin Laden, Reed?
Yes.
After, apparently there were newspaper headlines that were a typo that meant to say, killed Osama or something like that, or we killed Osama, but it said we killed Obama instead.
Oh dear.
That was, I'm sure a lot of Republicans in the South were really happy.
I remember hearing about that, yes.
I bet Fox News started it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Fishing Skill of the Month.
Fishing Skill of the Month for this week is more somewhat tied between the first two. You have a kill Kalox at 2.3 million XP gain, and second place is a minor ghoul with 2 million XP. So it's about 300k difference in between the two, which is, you know, pretty decent for something that's only been a week.
Yay.
So third place is...
Yeah, it looks like people are actually still competing, which is good.
Third place is the Duke Joker at 1.2 million XP, and... So, keep it up, guys. You can do it. Why didn't you enter this? Because I have 99 already.
Well, get
yes, that last
99
week.
Times 2. Oh, I did? Oops.
I have a life.
Are you laughing at him?
No. Anyways. Let's just say that if you're one of the few people that hasn't got XP, please get XP, because it's fishing, and fishing is a primary skill. So this is going to be the ultimate feat of endurance.
Well, I'll say this. within next week, I'm sure it will be like a really big drop for many people. I think most of them will have finished up the TV series and have nothing else to watch.
Yeah.
Or that's have when... some other kind of medical episode if they fish for too long. Did you guys hear about the Call of Duty guy who played Call of Duty for 40 hours and then collapsed?
Did he die?
He didn't die, but he was severely dehydrated.
But he got noob tubed.
Probably did. It is Call of Duty. But, you know, the thing is that you're kind of wondering... well, I don't want to start pointing fingers, but then...
40 hours straight?
Yeah.
Yes, with minor bathroom breaks and snacks.
Yeah, not enough. Basically, what happened was we had this one kid who was in this room for like more or less the entire weekend playing Call of Duty. And then after being in there for so long, he came out and he said he was feeling dizzy and was fainting and stuff, took him to the hospital. Doctor said, you need water. So basically, they gave him an IV to stabilize him. That's... So, you know, remember, drink water. Water's good for you. You need the water to survive.
And it's just a game, even though we advocate competing hard and skill the mind.
Water, so you don't have an excuse.
Summer. Yeah, we'll just put a straw in there somewhere and start sucking up the ocean, Reed.
Yeah, what? But you forget, Mr. Earth, that most of the water on this planet are undrinkable.
So?
You're not going to help anybody by causing
the herd. Thinning the herd.
Thinning the herd.
You're turning more and more like Shane every night. Okay, Shane, you're a bad influence on him. And you never will, Shane.
All right. Achievements of the week. Only one this week. A 99 fire making from Paua, who got it on the 8th. So congratulations to you.
Alrighty. And we have, for this week's pick, we have something from Reed.
Universe Sandbox.
Oh, that's a fun game.
Shane actually gave it to me for my birthday. It's just a universe simulation. You can add in stars, planets, and you can galaxies, moons. I think you can even add in soccer balls and stuff.
Black holes.
And you can change their mass, diameter, density, all of that. And you can just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you crash your computer once trying to do something?
Well, I crashed Universe Sandbox, but it doesn't
and
like
what
it.
What were you trying to do
with the star's mass at like 200 Milky Ways?
Let me see.
I bet you sucked everything out in the immediate neighborhood.
Into oh, here star. It is.
Yeah.
So the game right now is $10 on Steam. You may buy it if you want to. They also have a website that you can... I think there's a free trial. Is there a free version? Free version explore.
Oh, okay.
Lets you explore and discover any of the simulations as long as you want. Includes a 60-minute trial of the premium features. So... You can take a look at it if you want.
Yeah, that's enough if you want to know if you want to buy it or not. And it's only $10, which I think it's a good value for what you get. I mean, I've seen planetary simulators before. None of them looked as good as this. And the amount of stuff you can do with this is also pretty good as well. So definitely Universe Sandbox. I'd also recommend that.
Alrighty then.
Anything else you want to share about Universe Sandbox?
No.
Oh, did you see the God Particle then where you're
eat
in there?
That pig.
You became God, didn't you?
So.
You never make those.
He makes plenty of typos, mostly on MSN.
Yeah. Oh, I had this one thing in Universe Sandbox once where I tried to emulate the gas giants moving to the outer solar system, because there's a theory that says that they started in the inner solar system and worked their way out, but I wasn't able to do that properly. So I need to read more about that and see if I can make that happen.
I see.
Anyways, that's good. So what have we been doing? Earth, you can go first.
Not much, really. I finished all my summer reading, but now I have to do the sheets. So, don't mind the books, but it's the sheets that are just sheet.
Okay.
I get it. I get it.
You got it?
Yes, I did.
Whoa! Like,
yeah, okay. It takes Shane a while to get any bad PG-13 joke. You know that.
That's PG-13?
Why 7?
Yeah. Okay.
So, are you doing anything else to read?
Not really.
Shane, you want to go next?
All right. So, since he's not doing anything, primarily all I've been up to this week is I tried a bit of mining, but I, you know, after taking about a month break from RuneScape, I realized that mining is not the best thing to do when you come back to the game, just because it's so dull and monotonous. So I'm going to try and come up with something else to do while I wait for the evolution of combat.
Is it dull and monotonous, even though I came and made you wet?
Before that.
Okay. I thought that would liven things up.
Yeah, it did. And it also livened Friends Chat up as well. So, anyways.
I got a nice screenshot, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Screenshot of what? What is this?
Oh, you can show me after. But aside from that, not much been going on in RuneScape. As I said, if you have any ideas for me, what I can do for the better part of August, let me know. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I got 99 farming the third time over. That's about 39.1 million XP, going for 40 million now. But that's about it. Okay.
Okay then. As for me, I was doing a little bit of everything. So while at my Citadel, I managed to get 99 fire making. I ended up also getting another prayer level from all my little jack of all trades and penguins, so I'm happy with that. I actually got a semi-decent prize from a Squeal of Fortune. I got a rare agility pendant, so I managed to get about 50k of free agility experience from it, although it disappeared really quick. And I got a uncommon army one, which I don't feel like using it right now, but may do it later. But, you know, yesterday I was really disappointed because it was last night after I did the penguin quest. I didn't use any of the spins yet, and somehow I then later on got an extra spin. So I had 6 total for that day. 4 out of the 6 were only 1K. And I was disappointed.
Oh, no.
Four out of the six were 1K. One of them was a ruby. The other one was a defense lamp, which I don't need. Small defense lamp, I might add. So, yeah, 6 spins at 10x for nothing. See, Shane, these things are not random. Like,
if you say so.
You need to stop before I smack you. Go.
What did I do?
I'm sorry.
He wants me to play fetch. I should throw read the ball.
Huh?
Yes, ball, go. Tennis ball, go.
Ball.
All right, well, these two are off to play fetch. I think that's it for this week. So with that being said, we'll be back, we'll be back next week with a hopefully dogless RSPB update. So see you all then.